Okay, then it starts. Anyway, first I want to apologize about the mass. I know that people are not supposed to be wearing masks anymore, but my wife wants you to wear masks. Basically, according to the yeshiva is going with the system that 5 days, 7 days after traveling, we don't have to worry. But in the official guidelines, they say you have to wait 2 weeks. So my wife is more machmer than yeshiva. So she wants me to wait 2 weeks. So now I have a question to ask you people. So why can't I just go home? And my wife's going to ask me, were they wearing masks? I'll say yes.
Shalom bayis, shalom.
Yeah, shalom bayis, shalom talai. Yeah. So what, I have to bother you to wear masks? I should just forget about it. And then I go home. My wife said, were they wearing masks? Yeah, sure, everyone's wearing a mask. Yeah, I mean, this is just for fun. What's the answer? What? No, let's say I'm not really worried about Ishmael. Let's say Lu Yitzur. I'm only doing it because my wife wants me to wear a mask. I want the question. I don't want it's a Lu Yitzur question, okay? So why shouldn't I just do that? What? Yes, okay. No, that's close. It's because I just wanted to get to a point that there are some people that do that all the time, and it is such a bad thing to do because you ruin your life. Why do you ruin your life if you do that? Because there are certain people, I don't know if you know this, if you met these people, but I've met them in the course of life, that they're always lying, these little white lies. And you know, hey, what's the difference? They're always coming up with excuses and little lies. And eventually you catch on. Maybe the first time you say it, you don't. And then you lose complete trust with those people. And you can't have any relationship with them. So it doesn't pay. It doesn't pay. It pays to tell the truth, even if it's a pain in the neck. Okay. Anyway, so that's the story. Let's start with the Musafat. I'm not sure exactly. We'll see how time goes. What I would like to do is to give an introduction to a little bit of the Musafat and then to do a quick Musafat. But we'll see how it goes. In other words, the yeshiva has about four different Musafat, right? I think so. I think that's what I counted. First of all, we have from 3:15 to 3:30, the guys supposed to learn Musar on their own. Then we have a Musar Seder, usually with a Rebbe, right, from 3:30 to 4. Then we have Musar Shmuzim, and we have a Musar Vanim. Right? Okay, thank you. Right? So the question is, why in the world we have four different types of Musar? Right? I once heard Rabbi Orlovsky. Rabbi Orlovsky, anyone know Rabbi Orlovsky? Yeah, okay. So Rabbi Orlovsky happens to be from, actually I learned from Chafetz Chaim, for those people. I don't know if we want to take credit for him or not, but I think so. He's a chashva person. He has to be very good, the ma'isa. He has a lot of content, very unusual. So he said, he made a very interesting observation, that if you go into the grocery, in the noodle section, there used to be, when I was a kid, there was just one thing, macaroni. Now, there's like, you can get like 20, 30 different types. They all have different names. So if you're really, and he said, he claimed, I don't know this, but he said, if you go to Italy, it's much worse. If you're really into your pasta, right? That's right. So then there's all kinds of variations, and each one serves a different purpose. If you're serving this dish, you use this type. If you're serving that dish, you use this type. And you know the difference. So the same thing, there are different types of musar which are coming for different purposes. It's not just one simple thing, musar. There's many different problems that you have to solve, and you have to match the musar to the problem. So let's start trying to figure out what the problems are. I have a very simple question. We'll present the question to you guys. A guy in yeshiva, he sits and learns most of the day. Right? That means, I assume it means, that he believes in Hashem. Otherwise, what's he doing here? Nonetheless, sometimes he goes ahead and he does an aveira. Right? Anyone here ever did an aveira? Okay, fine. Right. So why does he do an aveira? Right? It doesn't make sense. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Me'achashiv hefsid mitzvah eschar aveira keneged hefseda. Obviously, the you know Hashem, there's this concept lo yechayte nisker. You're not going to outsmart HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not going to get ahead of the life because of a. So, what's the point of doing an aveira? Don't you realize that you're going to end up losing more than you're gaining? Right? It's intellectually, Hashem's not going to let you gain from doing an aveira. That doesn't make sense. It's like they give you a ticket for 10 hours. If a person makes $100, he gets a $10 ticket. Right? That doesn't work. It's obviously either the punishment or whatever. But so why do people do aveiras?
It's emotional.
Right? What do you say? Taiva. But what does that mean? Wait, I don't understand what it means. What do you say?
I think a lot of the time you don't give yourself enough time to think.
Okay. Yeah. What do you say?
I was gonna say
yeah.
The pleasure right now feels much better than the long later
one. Okay. Boy, you guys are all so smart. So I wrote down 5 reasons. You got most of them. What I thought people were gonna say is because we really don't believe. No one said that. How come no one said that? Anyway, that's what the average person thinks. But you know why I do aveiras? Because I don't really believe in Hashem. If I really, really believed in Hashem, I wouldn't do aveiras. We don't really think that's the right answer. The raya is, because if you really didn't believe in Hashem, you wouldn't be in yeshiva. You have to be pretty dumb to be in yeshiva, and from such a schedule, from 7:30 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, if you don't believe. Now, it doesn't mean that you believe 100%, but you obviously believe 90%, 85%, 99%, whatever it is, but it's enough to get you here from 7:30 to 10 o'clock at night, then it should be enough to get you to stop doing an aveira. The Bawi Musar were not so keen on working on increasing your emuna. Now, of course, if a guy has weak emuna, then of course you have to. But for an average person, especially a person who has basic emuna, because their premise was that if people are doing aveiras with 85% emuna, then they'll still do aveiras with 90% emuna. Because just like it's irrational to do an aveira if you're 85% sure, right? If there's a delicious cupcake, and there's a guy who probably has malaria, and he coughed on it, I don't think you'll eat it, right? Well, it's only 85% chance that it's going to get killed, right? So 85% is usually good enough for most things. So when people do aveiras, it's usually not because, I only believe 85%. But if I only would believe 90%, it would make a difference. It would not make much of a difference. So at least in the Musar schools, they did not hold that working on. Now, if you feel that you're a person that's only at 25%, then you should work on emunah. And there is such a thing. I'm sure there are guys in high school, and maybe some in Beis Medrash too, whose emunah is low. But usually, most people, they pass the level where that's not where their issue is. So why are they doing aveiras? So I wrote down 5 reasons. Okay, one reason, I'm not sure if someone said this, I just reading the order that I wrote. They're drunk. Right? What does drunk mean? It means that when you're drunk, your brain doesn't work because you're drunk. Right? Brain can't work when you're drunk. Now, what does that mean, practically speaking, that you're drunk? Because what? It means that you're not drunk from liquor, right? I don't mean that. Could be drunk from liquor, but that's not what I meant. So there's such a thing, that's a chazal, called haraya saita b'kokudo. You know, the chazal says the word saita is called a saita, because ein adam chayte en again nikmes ba ruach shtus. Nikmes ba ruach shtus means that you're drunk. It means that there are certain very strong taivas that they blind you. They make you become so over, your body is so possessed by the taiva that you can't think straight. It's like being drunk. Okay. What's the solution for that? Don't get drunk. Ah, I happen to like that. Who said that? Oh, okay, right. That is the solution. That's the best solution. Don't get drunk. The truth is there is almost no other solution. If you're drunk, you're in trouble, right? A guy who's drunk, especially if he's drunk with taiva, he's in big trouble. So the best solution is really not to get drunk, which means that you have to figure out in advance that you're liable to get drunk and avoid, you don't drink. You know that if I drink too much, I'm liable to do something I shouldn't do. So I have to control myself. So I know if I go in this situation, if I put myself in this situation, my taivas will get misayir over an amount and then I'll lose it. I'm liable to lose it. So you have to try and avoid the situation. Okay. All right. But that's an unusual thing. That's when you actually get drunk. Okay. Next one. Next one is probably more common. Right, someone said this. You act without thinking. Who said you said? You said that, right? Yeah. Right. Most people do not think before they act. They act based on impulses, reflexes. Okay, now here's an interesting question. How do you solve this problem? That, you know, I'm talking to the person and I speak Lashon Hara because, you know, it just came out. Or even more than that, you know, but it's, if I would have thought about it, I wouldn't have done it. But, you know, it just happens. That was a reflex. You know, the guy insulted me, so I punched him in the nose. And so he got me upset, so I screamed at him. And I insulted him. I was mavazing him in Prefer Hesia, you know. I really shouldn't have done that. But it was a reflex. Well, yeah, no, I got angry. It was a reflex. And when I thought about it, I'm sorry, really, I shouldn't have done that. So how do you stop that problem? That you're basically acting without thinking. Yeah. But I don't think before I act. That's the way, you know. It's my your mind. You know, you're going to stop every second and think. You know, my body. You know, you go. You go. Life goes. You know, you go.
How do you prepare for the situation? So that you learn
Musar. How does learning Musar going to help you? Okay, so you're not people hitting the nail on the head, I'm sorry, but you're, okay, maybe. So there's a big machlekes here. And this is one of the big machlekes in Musar. There's many different schools of Musar. So the most schools of Musar answer is that you have to train yourself that you have kosher reflexes, right? In other words, what? Kelm, Varnik, I don't know. In other words, instead of your reflex is, you know, when it's my reflex is that I stop. No, don't do it. And my reflex is I wake up for minyan. It's a reflex. My reflex is I don't speak Lashon Hara. They say the Chafetz Chaim, if you would, if someone start talking to him Lashon Hara, he would fall asleep. That's a reflex. His brain, his ears turned off. His body just shut down. Right? There's such a thing as you can get into reflexes that are kosher. That's through habit. You know, you get up every day at minyan. You wake up every day at 7 o'clock. At a certain point in time, it's a reflex to wake up at 7 o'clock. It's not intellectual. It's a reflex. It's also you get it into your emotions. You see, you know, what does it mean, a reflex? You're following your emotions. But you can have Torah-dika emotions. I was just reading last night, I think it was last night, it was 2 nights ago, about a certain Gadol in Europe. And he said, I don't even remember his name, but someone who was writing was the Rav of his city. And he said that the Germans put him in jail, whatever. And the Germans put the whole city into the shul, and then they took out the Sefer Torah and they started ripping it, and the Rav got a heart attack on the spot and died. Now, why did he die? It was a reflex. Now, I'm not saying it's a right, but it's because it's not intellectual. It's he's emotionally connected to Torah. So when he saw you desecrating the Torah, he got so emotionally upset, he got a heart attack, right? That means that a person can develop, you're not just having an emotional kesher to an ice cream, and have an emotional kesher to tithes. I have emotional connection to doing what's right. When I do a mitzvah, I smile all day long, not me, but you know, person, you know, I love doing chesed. You know, there are people like that. No, they when they do a chesed, they're excited all day. It make their day. You know, wow. Right? Imagine if you save someone's life. You'd be top of the world. So if you did a mitzvah. So it's a reflex. I love learning. Right? I love doing mitzvahs. I hate averas. Averas are disgusting. If I would eat chazer, I would vomit. Right? That's not necessarily intellectual. I don't know halachically if you're mechuyev to vomit. It's a reflex. So the normal approach in the Muslim in the world is that the biggest problem why people do averas is because they act without thinking. They're following their emotional reflexes. Train yourself to have Torah-dik and emotional reflexes. So then when you train your reflexes, it's a pasuk in Tehillim that seems to say this. I don't know if it's a pasuk, it's a medrash. It says that David HaMelech said, I forgot the pasuk, that his feet took him automatically to the base medrash. You people know the pasuk somewhere? I forgot the pasuk. What's the pasuk I know? The pasuk that says that he would, you know, there is, it happens to me sometimes. I say, I'm supposed to go to the store. I'm supposed to go to the kosher store. That's on the other opposite direction from my house to here. So I get in the car and I start driving, and next thing I know, I'm in yeshiva, right? Because 99% of the time when I drive to yeshiva. So without thinking, I turn right, I turn left, and this is not where I'm supposed to be going, right? So that means you get into a habit or a reflex that you do a certain behavior. So David got himself into a habit that he automatically went to learn. So his reflexes, his emotional reflexes, were tiridic. So that's what allowed the Bawi Musar say that what you're supposed to try and do is to create tiridic reflexes. Now, how do you do that? What?
Repetition.
So one way is through habit. Right? The example we gave of waking up for minyan is you get yourself into a habit. Okay. So habit is a big system. And how else do you do that? Musar b'spaydus. Oh, who said that? Right. But musar b'spaydus means to get emotional about what you're learning. So when you get emotional about what you're learning, it goes into your emotional part of you. Right? So if you could redo Musar Bespivis, then what you're taking, it's not just intellectual, it becomes into your emotions. Okay. We have to get a little deeper in this, but let's go, let's wait a second. Okay, now, what's the, I said there's another way of solving this problem. What's the other way of solving this problem? That you act without thinking? Someone really said it, but I just brushed him aside because I don't like it. I don't want to give away my answer. What's the right answer? There's a way of training yourself that your brain is always on alert. And you always think before you act. Right? That's a training. It's a very hard training. It happens to be that the Sabaka approach, which was, we found was much more that approach. In other words, there are two different schools in Musar. There's one school in Musar where they work on trying to develop the emotions because of this problem, that the problem is that people's reflexes are not, they follow their reflexes, so they want to create Toradika reflexes. And there's an opposite school that says, try and make that your intellect is in control, so we don't care what your reflexes are. Very two different approaches. I don't know more schar. It's just a question of which way works better. I don't think they were doing worrying about schar. They were worried about the practicality. The Sabaka approach was really that the main, so the yeshiva, which follows the Sabaka approach, I hope, is, which is maybe it's a harder system. It happens to be a much harder system. But the system is to turn ourselves into intellectual beings. Now, how do you do that? How do you turn yourself into an intellectual being? How does Musar turn you into an intellectual being? Why does that make you think? But it's through, also through, in a sense, have by thinking about everything. The more you think about things, the more, right? A Musar Shmooze, believe it or not, has many, many goals. But one of the goals of a Musar Shmooze is to make you into an intellectual person. What do we do in a Musar Shmooze? We basically, you take many Musar, I don't say every, a lot of Musar Shmooze are different. But in this yeshiva, the most of the Musar Shmooze are we basically analyze people. We put someone on the couch, Avram Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, Bilam, and we psychoanalyze him. So why did he do that? Right? But that's an intellectual approach which you're trying to understand human nature. And when you understand human nature, then you understand, you end up doing it to yourself too. Just like I want to understand why did Moshe Rabbeinu act the way he acted, you do that enough, you end up asking, why did I do what I did? You begin to understand yourself. And you begin to, you know, and you're always thinking, well, why did this? You're always questioning. It even carries over in learning. Okay. Anyway, the Maisa, that is a lot of the approach, which we have to try and work on, is to become an intellectual person. Okay, I'm losing the point. Okay, what else? We have two reasons why people do Aveiros. One is because they become drunk with taiva. Two, because they act without thinking. Three is just time. I think someone said this too, because their emotions are stronger than their intellect. So even if they, like, a guy will say, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm doing it anyway. Right? You never have that guy say that? Right? A guy has an upset stomach, and he had a terrible stomach cramps and for the whole day. And finally, it's starting to get better. Okay. He goes into supper, and he tells himself before supper, I'm not going to eat anything. Just going to eat something very light because, you know, I don't upset my stomach. And he walks into supper, and they're serving his favorite food, chili, or right, whatever it is, right? Oh, they never serve this. Now, He says to himself, I shouldn't be eating this. I'm going to have cramps all night. I'm going to be, but he eats it anyway, right? So you have a guy, it's not because he's acting on it, right? You see, the last one we said is, you hear the difference. The first one is that he's drunk, right? Because it's typhus. This is not, you're not typhus for the chili. I don't think this is drunk. There's only certain typhus that get you drunk. The second one is that you're just not thinking. It's a reflex.
Isn't that drunkenness?
What?
Drunkenness is also the typhus of what is
bothering you. No. The first one is, it's not because it's a reflex. It's my brain is numbed. The taiva is like the drinking numbs my brain. So the taiva numbs my brain. The second one is not that my brain is numb. My brain is asleep. Is that I'm functioning. I speak the Lashon Hara without thinking. It's not that my brain is numbed. It's I'm not really thinking. I'm acting without thinking. I'm impulsive. I call out in class. And the teacher says, don't call out. Next time you call out, you're going to get thrown out of class. And then 2 minutes later, you call out again. It's because, didn't you know I told you 2 minutes ago, if you call out, you're going to get thrown out. What's wrong with you? It's a chutzpah dick. A chutzpan. It's not chutzpah. It's just he's not thinking. The kid doesn't think. It's a reflex. But there's a third thing that it's not, if I care it, I'm thinking. And I know intellectually that I shouldn't do it because I'm going to get a stomach ache. But my emotions are stronger than my intellect. Right? How do you solve this problem? What? Right. How do you do that? Okay, everything must work. You do that by weightlifting, right? In other words, training. Because you want to make your intellect stronger. So the way you make your intellect stronger is exercise. Right? I don't know. Anything, it makes sense. Exercise. Exercise makes a muscle stronger. So you have a midah called self-control. Right? Now, how strong is your self-control? When you exercise it, and I know there was a guy in yeshiva who was so-so, and it was in Israel. Rabbi Moshe Chaik was very big into health, and he put him on a diet. He was a little bit overweight. And the guy lost a lot of weight. And after that, he became a much better learner and a much better Balmidas because he learned self-control. He exercised. There's a midah in self-control, which he didn't have. He couldn't sit in Seder, because he wanted to sit in Seder, but he couldn't control himself. But once he learned self-control, he exercised the midah of self-control by going on this diet. So now he could sit in Seder. So it changed his whole life. So it was exercise. That's really, okay, anyway, I'm going quickly. And the last thing I have here is just two other things I have. No, two more. Many people have hashkafically make mistakes. In other words, sometimes people do averis because that's what Messiah Hashem talks about, right? I mean, they think averis is a mitzvah and a mitzvah is an avera. Right? So we don't know what's really right and wrong. How do we solve that problem? Or halacha, or really a lot of it is usually not halachic, it's a balance. In other words, let's say how you balance Bein Adam L'Chavero versus Bein Adam L'Makom, what takes precedence, so you have to learn, right, okay, you're right. And the last one I wrote is this is what I really wanted to get to for the Muzavat, is, did anyone, have, they call it a Rubik cube? Is that what it's called?
Rubik's cube.
Yeah. Does anyone know how to do that? Anyway, yeah, you know, Ben, how long did it take you to do it?
Like a minute and a half.
A minute and a half, right? Now, if I would do it, I would probably spend a few hours, and at the end of a few hours, I would quit. So how come Benny knows how to do it in a minute and a half, and he can succeed, and I can spend an hour and a half and get nowhere. Is he smarter than me? Huh? So what's the answer?
He knows the trick.
He knows the trick. So believe it or not, that applies in a lot of things in life. A lot of things in life, you got to know the tricks. If you know the tricks, things that you think there's such a hard nisayin. I don't know what to do. Buddy, there's a trick. There's a switch. Find the switch, turn off the switch, and then it's all, it's a trick. You know, sometimes the trick is that there's a little plug. You unplug the plug. Sometimes it's, there are different tricks. They're and the same thing in learning. It's so hard to learn. There are tricks how to learn. It's very, sometimes the tricks, it's very hard to verbalize them, but there are tricks. In almost everything in life, there are suggestions to make life easier. I find it so difficult to daven with kavana, right? I don't know. But you know what? There are ways of davening with kavana. There are tricks. It's not just that you have to have tremendous willpower and concentration and focus. There are tricks. Anyway, the last one is really where the Musar Vadim comes in. Right? The other ones were the other Musar, but I'm running out of time. So, in other words, I wanted to explain, really, the Musar Vadim is different than all the other types of Musar. The Musar Bisbai, from 3:15 to 3:30, is to try and get emotional. The Musar groups with your Rebbeim is try to get really the right hashgafas. Because we said many times people do aveiris because they don't have the right hashgafas. The Musar Shmuzim is a few different things at once, but part of it is to help you learn how to analyze things, how to dissect people. It also gives you how to learn a pasuk. But the Musar Vad is mainly, I don't say it all, is to teach you the tricks. Because there are tricks in life. And sometimes the tricks are just learned from Arin Chazal. Sometimes the tricks are you heard from greater people. And sometimes the tricks are just from experience. Okay, anyway, so that's what a Musar Vad is. I think I was a little bit too unclear. But that's the idea. In other words, Musar Vad is different than all our other parts of Musar, because I don't say every Musar Vad is, but what we try to do in a Musar Vad is to be a little bit more down to earth. A lot of the other Musar Shmuzim are not necessarily down to earth. Rav Huttner told us that someone once asked the Alter, what do I learn from your Musar Shmuz? What's the practical application? And he said, the practical application is that you should intellectually know it. So Musar Shmuz are sometimes very intellectual. We said part of the purpose is for the sake of intellect. But a Musar Vad is usually not supposed to be so highfalutin intellectual, but it's supposed to be practical to give you an Eitzah. Okay. Anyway, with this introduction, I want to have a 10-minute Musar Vad. Okay? 10-minute Musar Vad. But it's also intellectual, because I happen to love intellectual insights. Can I tell you? I left it out that if a person develops, you can get emotional about intellectual. But okay, that's too confusing. I saw recently in a sefer, there was a person in Eretz Yisrael, his name was Rav Hirsch Pillay. I assume none of you people who knew it was, but I actually ate, Rabbi Knarik sent me up in his house for when I was, in 1973, I ate all Pesach in his house. He was the Mashgiach of Chevron Yeshiva, together with Rameir Chodesh. They were, like, I don't know, one was the Menahel Ruchni and one was the Mashgiach. I don't exactly know what the difference is, but there was a team. So in the first place, so they put out his Shmuzim. So he has there a very interesting line. He says, you have two people that go into our Batz HaSayra. One guy, and they both take all the Torah Misora courses and education and everything, and they're both charismatic and everything. One guy is the world's biggest success. And one guy just doesn't go. You know, just can't get the kids to really learn. Says, why not? So he goes to his sage, so to speak. He says, what's the difference? Why is he able to succeed so much and me not? He says, well, you know the difference? Because he loves his students. And the kids pick it up. Kids, people, your kids, your, I don't mean if you're talking to little kids, your students, right, pick up. They can pick up if the Rebbe really loves them. They can pick up if it's fake or if it's real. So he really, your friend, really loves his students. So if he loves his students, so they listen to him. But you don't love your students. So you know all the techniques and all the this and all the that, but you don't really love your students, so you're not a success. So now the question is, how come he loves them and I don't? So he, Rav Hirsch Pillay, says a very, very tiefe answer. Why do some people love their students and some people don't? Okay, anyone? $1 million if a guy gets the right answer, so I'm not giving it though. But in theory. Yeah? How do you train yourself to love someone? I don't know, that's hard. So Rav Hirsch Pillay says, because the Pasuk says, says you can't love someone else until you love yourself. And many, many people don't love themselves. So what he says, an amazing word, is that there's a major problem that people have that they don't love themselves. You think, well, what's the big deal? I don't love myself. Where does it say a mitzvah in the Torah? I have to love myself. He said, if you don't love yourself, you can't get started in life. You can't, that's one of the most important mitzvahs in the Torah. But it's all predicated on loving yourself. So even though, I don't know if there's a pasuk that says, thou shalt love yourself. But he says that most people don't love themselves, or at least a good percentage. They're Bali Gaiva. Most people are Bali Gaiva. But Bali Gaiva don't mean you love yourself, right? Two separate things. Gaiva just thinks that most Bali Gaivas are fakir. They're very upset with themselves. Why are Bali Gaivas angry at themselves? Why are most Bali Gaivas really probably dislike themselves? Because they're not as good as they should be in their mind. I'm brilliant. I'm the world's biggest genius. And you know what I did? I only got a 99 on the test. So stupid of me. I got a 99? Why should I get a 99? I made such a stupid mistake. I can't believe I made such a stupid mistake. I hate myself for making that stupid mistake. Right? So Bali Gaivas very often hate themselves. Most people get upset with themselves because they go ahead and they're upset on themselves because they do things that they feel they shouldn't be doing. If you're a Bali Gaiva, you're upset with yourself because you made a stupid mistake. If you're a regular person, you're upset with yourself that you're doing Averis. If you're, whatever it is. So people, this is very, very interesting that there's a Mida, practical speaking, that he says, Rav Pillay, that the starting point, and I don't know if it's necessary, but one of the starting points of moving forward in life is you have to work on being happy with yourself. First, when you're happy with yourself, you're happy. Happiness gives a person energy. When a person's not happy, you can't function. If you don't like yourself, you're not happy. So there's a lot of problems by not liking yourself. So why am I saying this now? Because, and this is something that Shiva used to talk a lot about, and this is a very nogea a little bit. We are in Elul, believe it or not, even though we haven't spoken about it. And one of the most important musavadim, which eventually we have to get to, is how to go about in doing tshuva. Because like we said about the Rubik's Cube, there is a system how to do tshuva. Tshuva is not just do tshuva, it's a system. But people think that the way you do tshuva is you find all your averis and you tell yourself how terrible you are. I'm such a terrible person, right? Because I did so many averis. and you get really, really down about it, and that's your tshuva. That's how you're supposed to do it. Because tshuva, you have to first have charata, and second step is change. And obviously you're not going to change if you don't have charata. So the first step in tshuva is you got to get yourself really, you got to tell yourself how terrible you are. Ooh, I was such a terrible thing I did. And then you get lots of good charata. And then you can go ahead and get aziva sachet, and then you do tshuva. But what's wrong with that system? What? Well, there's a problem is that when you do this system, you pretty much become upset at yourself, right? Because I'm this terrible person who did all those terrible aveiras. And then you get yourself depressed, which drains you of all energy. And you get yourself down, and you convince yourself that you're no good, so you lose your self-confidence, and you lose what you call loving yourself. And then you don't love yourself, you can't love the other guy, right? So you can't do that either. So it's a real interesting catch-22. Right? So what's the solution? Somehow or another, you have to do tshuva without getting down on yourself. Which means the way to do tshuva is, when I was in Rabbi Hochberg's shir, I don't know, you people, I guess, never had Rabbi Hochberg. And is he still coming around to Queens at all? Anyone? No? No. Okay. He used to be a Rebbe in Queens for like 50 years. So he used to have a line when a guy would ask a question, your question is apikarsis, but you're a tzaddik. In other words, there's such a thing that you're a wonderful person. You're a tzaddik. You just did something that you shouldn't have done, right? You have to be able to separate yourself from what you did. And it's, okay, listen, Baruch Hashem, I'm basically a good person. Baruch Hashem, I'm on the right track. Baruch Hashem, I'm in yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, I'm moving forward. Baruch Hashem, I'm doing tshuva. Baruch Hashem, everything, right? I'm really amazing. Rabbi Kier, you have to take off my masra picture. Okay, anyway, right? So, right, that's really, but the doesn't mean, just because I'm this wonderful person, doesn't mean that I never did aveiras. So it's a very important message. Rashiva used to, this is my first shmooze, I remember today, my first shmooze in yeshiva. I was so excited. Rashiva was giving, I came into yeshiva, and whatever it is, this was, believe it or not, about, okay, I don't want to say how long, but about a long time ago, right? Long time ago. And it was during Edel, and I was very excited. And the Shiva gave a whole shmooze about not getting too excited about Rosh Hashanah. I was so disappointed. You know, like, that's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear, you know. But that was a message. Of course you have to get, it didn't mean not to get excited about Rosh Hashanah. You have to get excited about Rosh Hashanah. But you have to somehow divide it. It's the fact that I did an Aveira, and I did Aveiras, and I have to fix them, does not make me a bad person. You heard Rabbi Hirsch Palait had a Chiddush. He said that the reason why some people don't succeed in Harbat Zisairah is because they don't love their students. And the students pick it up. And he says the reason why they don't love their students is because they don't love themselves. And the Pasuk says, V'ahavta ra'acha kamecha. So he says the most important thing is you got to work on loving yourself. So that's a nice finish. I like that. Finish. He says that the goal, the first step in Shleimus, or one of the first steps is a person has to work on loving yourself. So when you go ahead and you focus on charata, charata doesn't mean that we're bad people. That's not charata. Charata is, I'm the dumbest guy in the world. I made such a stupid mistake. I can't believe I made such a dumb mistake. What's wrong with me? You know, I kick myself in the pants. I don't know how I could do such a stupid thing. I'm such a bum. I told myself I wasn't going to do it. I did it. I'm terrible. You know, charata means I'm a wonderful person. I'm great. I'm learning in yeshiva. I'm on the right track. I'm going, even doing tshuva. You know, wow. I'm great, wonderful. Regretfully, I did something I shouldn't do, and it's a problem, and I have a way to fix it, and I'll fix it. And Baruch Hashem, everything's wonderful. But it's not, you know, it's not personal. It's not a personal that I, so you don't get, you're not down on yourself. You have to be, that you're, even with all the charata, you have to feel that you're a wonderful person. All right. Okay. Shigayah.